Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, a.k.a. Dr. Love.
And I'm Stephanie Martinez-Rafe.
And you've just joined us on This Is Real.
I don't know. I went down this little rabbit hole, right? I'm like, man, I thought I saw you once on social media, but then it disappeared.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone.
I deleted Instagram. Let's go. I'm ready to get real. Man. If we ain't going to get real, I'm going to leave.
Let's do it.
Which was one of my first artists ever, but we'll talk about that later. I've never told that story. I was behind the priest with the incense, bro. Wearing the thing. For so long, there was a moment in my life where when I was working at the store, bro, it was a store and I was just repairing screens for phones, for money to try to live for Jesus, stop selling dope. But it was like, I couldn't get away from it.
Okay, I got another question for you. Where's there a moment where you felt like giving up, and what kept you going?
Bro, Luke 18, Jesus told the disciples, all 12 of them, right? He tells them in Luke 18, he's talking to them in this parable about the widow that was being persistent. And he tells them, there's a need for you to pray and not give up. For you to pray and not give up. So you asked me if there was a time where I felt like giving up.
Yep.
I felt like giving up.
Recently?
A week ago.
Yes. That's what I'm talking. Not that yes. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm like,
we're talking.
Yeah.
I felt like giving up a week ago. I felt like giving up a week ago when I felt like we were in the prime of our youth ministry of Siervos. We're launching artists. It's our 50th year anniversary. Me and my wife are doing great. Communicating, ministry is growing. Took a youth group from like 50 kids to over. Yesterday we had 160 kids. You're just going pow, 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 just working, showing up. And then what does the enemy do? He ain't happy. You know what I'm saying? An enemy ain't gonna come attack me with girls, with money, with drugs. Yeah. He's gonna attack me in the same like where you're anointed at. You know what I'm saying? But I go to Luke 18 and he tells the disciples in this parable. But what's crazy about it is that he's not telling them just because. I like to believe, bro, if I will make an educated guess, that Jesus was telling this parable to the disciples because they probably wanted to give up. Yeah. One of them was probably already like, bro, I'm done. Like, you making people's legs grow. You're healing people. Like, I'm out of here. Or some of them were just like, I'm going back home. But there was a reason why Jesus shared this parable, and it was not to give up, but continue to pray. And I read that this week, and I was like, yo, no matter what, we got to pray again. So when I feel like giving up, I got to pray again. So that's all I had to do. I couldn't get online and say how I feel. I couldn't tell my wife how I feel because I don't want her to have a look at something or look at people different. We can't. So the encouragement there to not give up for me was pray again. Pray again for that person. Pray again for that healing. Pray again for that opportunity. To pray again, which is what Jesus is saying in this parable. But then he says, never give up.
Yeah.
And when it came to the giving up, bro, when I feel like giving up, that is what the enemy wants you to do. But you got to do the opposite. So I'm in the season of doing the opposite of what my flesh wants to do.
Yeah.
I'm in the season of doing the opposite when I want to give up. Obviously, it sounds like you say, well, just don't give up. Just don't give up. Just don't give up. But how do you tell somebody that literally has a gun in their head, just don't give up? Like, that's not going to stop them. And I go back to this and I can say, you know what? People could say whatever they want about Lou. But one thing they can't say about Lou, about you, about people, you know, us two in the room, even April, no matter what, that we ain't showed up. Has there been adversity? Yes.
Yes.
Has there been threats?
Yes. Yes.
Has there been insults?
Yes. Yes.
Has there been blah, blah, blah?
Yes. Yes.
All of it. Has it been there? Yes. All of it has been there.
Yes.
Have we been depressed? All of it. Yes.
Yes.
But we've showed up.
But God.
And God, the enemy, he won't attack somebody that doesn't show up. He won't make somebody want to give up that only shows up on Sunday.
Yeah.
If you're a youth watching this, that only shows up to camp.
Yeah.
If you're a young adult, that only shows up when there's worship night. He won't attack those that don't give. He's going to attack those that show up, that pay their tithes, that show up faithfully when they don't want to. Show up to marriage conference. Show up to all of those things that make you feel cringe, that make you feel your flesh like bubble up, stir up, whatever.
That
is who he's attacking, to give up.
So
has there been a time where I want to give up? Yes. But parable of this woman that was so persistent that kept going to the judge saying, man, please, like, I want some justice. And the judge didn't like God. He didn't fear God and he didn't like people. But if I don't know why I'm going to share this, but I just feel like saying this for people. Wherever you're watching this, if you probably gave up on God for whatever reason it was, At some point in your life, you gave up on the Lord, don't know what it was, why it happened, and you're probably, you gave up because you're like, man, there's just no justice. I've been crying out to you, God, for this to happen, and it just hasn't happened. This parable shows us that, yo, it doesn't matter if the people that control or are in authority, God is not limited by their responsibility, what they got going on. God can make a way for you. God made a way for me, and that's why the parable, at the end of the day, that widow got justice. Yeah, even from a man fire. Who didn't care God about God or cared about people, yeah. She got justice because she was being persistent. So we got to show up. We got to pray again and yeah. Not give up. Eventually, it'll happen.
Yeah.
We just can't give up just because after the first prayer. Always, man, I'm about to go.
So a long time ago, I learned, I guess this is what I do. Because, you know, things happen.
Yeah.
Like you said, I like when we were in sync, you know, all of those things happen. So the whole Romans 8:28, when it says, and we know that all things work together
for the good
of those who love God. And so I always ask myself this question. I go, Juan, do you love God? When I'm going through something and I'm feeling it, I said, do you love God? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I love God. So I go, then everything's going to work out. Because he says it. Now, that's the difference. Now, you got to get nervous. If you don't have that relationship,
it ain't going to work.
But if you have that relationship, then it's going to work. And the Bible's there because we usually live out the opposite. So it's to make us aware of how to align ourselves, right? It says, don't grow weary of doing good. Because in due season. So I just got to keep doing what I'm doing. Like you say, I got to keep showing up until it happens. Next question. What lie did you believe about yourself or about God that you had to let go of? Right? Because when you continue in the truth sets you free. But there are things in our lives that we believe are true that were a lie, and that's why our life was destroyed.
Yeah.
So what lie did you believe about yourself?
You know, I love this question because I always like telling our youth, anybody I come across and I hear them out, 90% of the time it's a lie. And we got to learn how to replace lies with truth, bro.
Yes.
We got to learn how to look at ourselves in the mirror. Like, I feel this. I hear you, devil, whatever this is. Even sometimes myself. But God says I'm this. Jesus says I'm this. I'm called to this. So the lie that I believed for so long was that I wasn't called.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would be in rooms and I'd be like, bro, why am I here? Like, I'm not called. For so long, I'm not called. For so long, I've always worked at churches that have given me an opportunity to thrive. And for so long, I've just been like, bro, I'm not worth it. Like, I don't. Why am I here?
I'm not worthy.
Why am I sitting in this chair? I'm not worthy for so long. And I would just beat myself up. I would just go to Bible college. I'm like, man, I'm done. Once I'm done with this, I'm honestly just going to go back home and sell dope. That's my legacy. That's what Pops is. That's what they're all doing. My dad's still growing weed in Mexico to this day. Like, that's where he's at. Like, I'm going to do that for so long. I believe that lie. And then I would look around and I would look at people. This is the biggest lie. I wasn't worthy because I didn't have a father that could stand up for me.
Mm.
So it's like two lies. One, I'm not worthy, and two, I don't have a father.
Mm.
And that's a lie. It's a lie. It's a truth.
It's a lie.
I don't have my physical father.
Yeah, those are facts, but it's not truth.
Yes, it's a fact. Yeah. So he always got me with that for so long. I would be on stage preaching, and people give their life to the Lord, and I'm like, hallelujah, waiting afterwards, and then the enemy would just come in my mind like, oh, but look, where's your dad? Bro, and I'm just chilling there, and I'm trying to, hey, hermano, hey, whatever, you know, being dope. Oh, Lou, take the pick, boom. And in my head, bro, there's this live enemy, but you don't got your pops. And all my friends in ministry, my best friends, bro, their parents are in ministry. Their dad's a pastor. So I've been surrounded by people that I'm in the room, and they're like, yo, my dad just did this for me. Yo, my pops did this for me. And they know I've never to this day hated on that, but I've always looked at that like, man, I can't wait for me to do that for my kids one day.
Yeah.
I'll be that person for my kids. But I just had to, bro, like, believe it and be like, you know what? That's true. That's a fact. I don't have this dad. I don't come from this legacy. Ain't nobody saying, here, Lou, here's his church. Here's his legacy. Here's Seattle Fest. It's just you, but it's okay because I got God. And he's my father. And when I change my mentality and I say, I walk in the room, like, Lou, why? Somebody asked me one day, and one of the artists said, yo, you got mad confidence, G, why? And I was like, bro, do you know who my dad is?
That's it.
His name is Jesus Christ, bro. Yeah. So I'm gonna walk in that room and respect everybody.
Yes.
But I'm walking in that room like I'm a son, like I am a son. At the end of the day, I'm a son. And that's the biggest lie that I believed for so long, that I wasn't a son.
Yeah, that's
important.
That
I didn't belong. So.
That's important. I think everything else, because, you know, at 36, I get saved. And when, you know, I tell people, like, when I got out, I was almost 40. So I had a 25-year sentence reduced to 4. I got out, I'm 40 years old, and, you know, literally, I try to explain to people, I go, you know, I had to go buy my first pack of socks. We're talking about from hustling and making all this money. Okay, from scratch. I'm in Houston. I got baby Ruth, who's my wife today, and that's it. And so we're getting a pair of socks, first pair of pants, T-shirt, everything else from the thrift store. So I'm getting super humbled by God, right? Because I'm used to like rocking gear, and I ain't got nothing. I got everything oversized. I got no haircut. I tell my wife, how you stayed with me, you know? But she was looking at the inside, you know. And I don't know, man. I feel like you know, you could so easily fall back to your things. And I think I tell people, look, I had to learn how to be a son first, and out of sonship, I learned how to be a father. Because all my kids can't, you know, God restored my whole entire family. Like, they all live here. And they actually, one of them even works here, right? My son serves in students. He's one of the pastors in students. So y'all got to connect.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I look at that, I go, man, if I didn't learn how to be a son, I wouldn't know how to be a dad, a friend, anything. So you that son part is, like, vital. That's where you get your identity from.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, a couple fun ones. Okay, if you could go back, so we do this thing. I forgot what we used to call it. We had a name for it, but I totally forgot. And that's why I had a Pastor Stephanie. She's kind of usually here, but, you know, she's still on a leave of absence. And so she remembers all these little things. I forget. So, you know.
That's fine. Let's do them.
Dear younger me. Go ahead, April. You came through on the clutch.
That's not it? Okay, there you go. We gotta give him a shout out.
Preach. Yeah. You had the Lord in your ear. Okay, that's a whole nother message. Okay, dear younger me. So what we do is, boom. Now I see you call yourself Lou. So now I call you. Now, you know what I'm saying?
Lou,
we went from Louis
to Lou.
What up, Lou? Okay, so we're gonna put Lou. Boom, the DeLorean rolls up. It's the dude, it's me with the white hair. What's up, Lou? And so you're going to get in the DeLorean, and I want you to take us back to a younger you. And what would you say? You could pick any year. It could be 2 years ago. It could be 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Whenever you want. What would you say to you?
When would you go, what year?
I go, what year? I'm about to put it in the thing. How many years ago?
17, when I started ministry. Slow down.
17 years old. Okay, you go back. You're talking to Lou. What's up?
Slow down.
What you wearing at 17? What you rocking?
Slow down. I don't know what I'm wearing. I don't know. I don't know what was the trend. But at 17, I would tell myself, slow down.
Wow.
You know, I'm 29, bro, and I know, and this is not boastful pride. I've done stuff that I've seen people in ministry in the 40s, 50s literally come and just be like, man, son, like, God's hand is on your life. Like, you're doing stuff we can only dream of. We've been praying for years, and we still can't accomplish. And I take that as, I'm not better. I just take that as, like, man, God, your hand is on my life.
Yeah.
But a lot of it was just going. Bow, grinding. Bow, grinding, 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 17, 18, 19,
so talk to
20
yourself.
On the road. So I would tell myself, yo, just slow down, Lou. At 18, 17, slow down. That's it. Okay. Slow down, bro. If I was in ministry, bro, I'd be like, man, just wait till you're 30 to get in this thing. But we're here. Not unfortunately. We're here now. But just slow down. You ain't got to rush to it. People are always going to need Jesus, Lou. Yeah. People are always going to need Jesus. Take care of your people. Take care of your family. Like,
that's wisdom.
That's it.
That's wisdom. So, boom, we're in the car. You get back in. I go, how was it? You're like, man, I told him slow down, right? And I go, hey, I got to take you to one more spot. And you're like, so you down?
Let's go. Come on.
Okay. Do, 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 do. So I'm going to take you now. You're going to be right before your mom leaves. What would you say to her? I want you to go to that moment. What would you say to your mom with what you know now?
Bye.
Really? You would tell her goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't try to talk out of it? Because now you got a lot of Jesus. So, I mean, you might reach
No.
her.
Why? I can't tell you why. Why would I say why?
So talk to her.
It made me who I am today.
Yeah.
I think if my mom and dad would have stayed together for whatever all things were together for the good of those who love them. I love God, so he made it work. But I don't think if my mom wouldn't have left that night, I would be sitting here with you. I would be out of medical school somewhere, still trying to become the surgeon. Hopefully somebody reached me and the Lord drew me near to him to be at a church, but I think I'll just be a Christian that pays my tithe and goes to work and does my medical thing and still be in Cali. So I would be, I don't know. I didn't tell her nothing when she left. I didn't cry. I didn't say stop. I didn't say go. I would just be like, I don't know, bye. Like, I'd be excited probably. Like, I know who it, I know what this made me. It put me through hell. It hurt me. Yeah. I was so insecure about it, but I don't know. I love my mom. Me and my mom are good now. We have a great relationship. She knows I love her. She knows I've forgiven her for all of it. And she also knows, like, dang it. So for a long time, she had a lot of shame. Like, man, my son left, this. But she also knows, like, I'm in good hands now. It's God who did this. So I think I would just say bye, bro. Like, straight up, I would just be like, I was also a young kid.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what's going on.
But you know now.
But I know now. That's why I would be like, that's hard. I'd probably say bye with tears. Like, bye. It's going, it sucks. But
it's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine. Because she got her own thing.
Yeah. What would you say to your, I ain't letting you leave. I done pointed you to your dad now. Now you're talking to your dad with everything you know now. And your dad is going through that morning. That moment, he falls to his knees. And what does this Lou say?
In that moment or now?
Well, yeah. You're then, but with everything you know now, right? Because now you're grown and Christ and all that. As a boy, you didn't know what was going on. You're just hugging and crying. But what would you say to your father at that moment when he falls to his knees?
It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. With everything that I know now, I'm like, bro, it's going to be all right. I think in his mind, he's just like, yo, what am I doing? You know, that's... He was just by the crib. He's working. So it's just like, yo, it's going to be all right. Because I know God going to take care of us now. You know what I'm saying? And I know. I would tell him that. And I would also tell him, it's not your fault. Like, it's not your fault. Mm-hmm. That's what I would tell my dad. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. And it's going to be all right.
That's super dope. Okay. You're like, are we going home yet? like, I got one more stop. Maybe two. Almost stop. You've been married for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take you back to before you got married. What would you tell Lou that he knows he's going to get married? What would you tell single Lou?
Good job. Good job, son.
What would you say? What would you say to single Lou?
Single Lou.
I was single Lou, you know? So you're like, yo, what up, girl? You know, what would you tell single Lou knowing that you're going to get married to this woman? What advice would you give to the single Lou?
To lock in. As the young folks say, lock in. Single Lou, I would tell single Lou, lock in. Like, yo, lock in. It's about to get real. This is it. We ain't going to do what my mom and pops did. So lock in, son.
It's good. So you think you'd get a little more ready?
Yeah.
Right? Because it's totally different, right? Yeah. What everybody did all of a sudden, you're married. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But it comes with some weight.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say is the hardest thing that you've learned thus far in your 2-year marriage?
Saying sorry.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I just want to hear say sorry. Even when you're like, right, or whatever. You say sorry, bro. Because you're like, bro, nah, if I say sorry, then whatever. But just... continue to say sorry, just like, hey, you didn't take out the tribe. Be like, okay, I just took it out now, right?
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, oh, sorry, man. You know what I'm saying?
Just
simple stuff. I would say that. And also the hardest thing is just being like, making her my first ministry has been hard, if I'm being real.
Yeah.
It's been hard because we're going, bro. Like, the harvest is there, but it's also, hey, my wife is here too.
You got to prioritize.
Yeah, so I've been doing that. Like, this Monday, it was just all about her. What you want to eat? Local foods. I hate local foods. She's the healthy one. And I'm like, let's go to local foods, whatever you want to do. And so it's making her my first ministry, because I do see that in ministry a lot, bro, where I see wives that resent the church, or they just sit there all pretty and they look all pretty, but they're the ones that are dealing with us. They get to see the dirtiest side of us, the messy side, the side that nobody sees when we go home and turn these cameras, they see it. So I think that's why Jesus said, yo, that's our first ministry.
All day long.
So,
you know, because minister, when you think about minister, a lot of times people think minister and they just think somebody preaching. But the word minister actually means to attend to a need. So when you say my wife's my first minister, you're saying you're attending to her need first.
Yeah.
Before everybody else's.
Yeah.
And so your first relationship was with God. And because of that, everything else works out. It's the same concept. Because remember, two put 10,000 to flight. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, one of the main things is, you know, for me, I write everything on my calendar. Like I had to learn how to do a calendar. Now, I know some people, they've been doing it their whole life. For me, I was like, if I did a calendar when I was hustling, I would have got busted. I'll be there at 3 on Tuesday. You know, yeah. Like, that wouldn't have worked. So I'm super spontaneous. When things happen, I can pivot quick because of my life.
Yeah.
Right? Like, here it comes. Yeah. Watch out. Right? That's easy for me. Structure I had to learn. Right?
Yeah.
Structure. Like, it felt awkward. This feels so weird. Right? And then calendar. But I realized that, like for me and my wife, every Tuesday morning, we're on the calendar to actually talk about our calendar. That creates fruit and healthy marriage, because if we're both running, that's when we start bumping heads. Yeah. But if she knows what I'm doing and I know what she's doing, then the rest of our week goes great. So we do it every single Tuesday, yeah. Right? I started getting creative with it and highlighting pieces of my calendar, like blue is my family. So I know when I've spent time with my family, and I could just look at it and know when I haven't.
Yeah.
So my kids, my wife, right? And then, because the reality is when we're good, everything else is going to work. Mm-hmm. It's harder when you're not, right? Yeah, I mean, we've had the Sunday, it hasn't happened in forever because we made some boundaries of like, yo, we can't argue on Sundays. Like, you're going to mess me up.
It's a big no-no. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like you want to argue?
Bro.
Let's disagree Monday through Friday. You know what I'm saying? Do not do that.
I'm smiling because you said the calendar has been for me too. Like, what? And she loves that. Like, meal plan. What are you eating Monday to Friday? Like, plan it so we know.
The more you're in agreement, the less disagreements you're going to have, right? That's the goal, to be aligned with heaven, right? So if you're aligned with heaven, whenever you're off, you align with heaven. So look at that as a calendar. Mm-hmm. So when you're off with your spouse, it's because you're not in agreement.
Right.
So the more agreement, like when she knows, hey, I'm doing this, like she knew yesterday, I was like, yo, it's going to be a long day. So she ain't blowing me up. Where you at? Because she knows it's going to be a long day. But I told her that Tuesday.
So she knows. She's aware. Yeah,
so by the time I leave, I'm calling her, because this was a long day from like 7 in the morning, 7:30. So I'm like 7:30 at night, I'm calling her, hey, I'm coming home. She's like, cool, I got your food and all that. So I'm like, bet. But it wasn't like, where you at? What you doing? Like, even though she doesn't do that, but you know, when it's that long, you know.
Yeah.
So then she doesn't, we don't beef because she already knows what I'm doing. I already know what she's doing. And so we leave each other alone.
So communication.
Communication. Yeah, but that calendar, that paper calendar is a giant. What's one thing people misunderstand about you, Lou?
Everything.
Yeah?
Everything. Dope. Sit up, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything, bro. Everything.
Yeah?
Everything.
Because they look from the outside and they just start
everything,
thinking
bro.
Things.
I don't think they're used to me and you being in ministry, bro.
Well, that's deep. That's a whole nother segment.
So we always gonna be misunderstood. Mm. And what's, you know what sucks? When you misunderstood, bro, the hardest pill for me to swallow is, Lou said blank, 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 and then somebody else says, that does sound like something Lou would say, but Lou never said it. Mm. I know I'm about to cry, bro. Lou said blah, blah, blah. Dude, that does sound like something Lou would say. But Lou never said it. So you just to the chin. Misunderstood, bro. Misunderstood. And then you sit there and you try to defend yourself. Oh, you're defensive. You're trying to defend yourself. Oh, so you, boy, just misunderstood.
Yeah.
But it's like you said, the people around you that know what's up. The people that can see be like, yo, that's not... Lou didn't say that, bro. He's literally telling you, bro. Like, nobody else in your life is telling you right now. Like, what do you mean? Like, this is what we prayed for. We prayed for Lou. So it's just all this misunderstanding. Recently, I was with my boy. He's an artist. Went on in Houston. And he was like, bro, I was talking to this guy. And he felt like you just didn't, like, pay attention to him. And I was like, bro, I tried my hardest. I was so intentional with him. What do you mean? He's like, well, that's just how you felt. So I DM'd him and I said, hey, bro, hope you're doing well. I didn't know I made you feel this way. Like, what's going on? And he just left me on red, but I did my part. I can't do nothing about it. Like, You know what I'm saying?
Like, all day long.
Like, I literally did it because I know that's what people misunderstand me.
Yeah, but see, even that's an issue.
Bro, right? But
that's
we
an issue because the person, if we're going to live, the person loves Jesus. Let's say the other person. Okay.
To know better. Okay. Yeah.
So they should know Matthew 18. I've been on this fight for Matthew 18.
But the same way they should know, we should know. It's just this back and forth.
But I'm saying, in that case, your friend didn't have to tell you. He should have told you, yo, you made me feel this way. Mm-hmm. It should have been like, go to the person. He said, if he don't listen, let's say after he goes to you, he don't listen. Then he goes to the friend. Yeah. And he's like, yo, come with me because he's being stubborn. Yeah. Then y'all all deal with it.
Yeah.
But usually nobody's doing the first part right. Everybody like, yo, you heard that. Yeah, you know, it's heard. Like, nah, when somebody tells me, let me tell you my role. And everybody, April's right there and they know. I brought whole worship team, the whole, whoever is in the beef. So they're like, yo, Lou said. I'm like, all right, let's call Lou. Then they like they backpedal.
They're like, hold on, hold on. I'm just
letting you know. Then I go, nah, call then me. You're not care. You don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't care. You're saying you care, but you don't. Because if you care enough to tell me, then tell Lou. What's the hardest thing that can happen? We ain't in the streets. Ain't nobody going to come out face it. The hardest thing that can happen is attitude and maybe some anger. Yeah. So?
And we somebody squabble.
Yeah,
but to go back to the misunderstood, bro, a lot of it is just misunderstood, bro. Like, then there's people, what helps is that then there's people that, I've had people in the room, bro. Mikel is one of them. Well, he'd be ready to be like, hold on, where? That ain't Lou. But have you talked to Lou? Have you met Lou? Then you can't say that about Lou.
Yeah.
I know Lou. So it's having those people like Mikel, Joy, my friends that are like, bro, like, I'm sorry, but Chad tripping. Like, we know him. And then you see how furious they get because they see how misunderstood you are. Mm. And they know how much you love God. And they know how much you genuinely care for people.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that are advocating for you. But it's just misunderstood, bro. It's like a story of my life. Misunderstood. Like, people be like, oh, Lou, money-driven Seattle Fest. And I'm like, bro, it's free. Make this make sense to me.
Hey, it's that nobody understands.
It doesn't make
sense.
Putting
stuff on like that, let me tell you. I don't care how free... It costs money.
Bro, it costs more than 100 G's, bro.
It costs money.
Misunderstand me and write me a check for $5. Like,
hey, but we weren't like that when we were sewing into the liquor store and all that.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody was complaining.
Nobody was complaining.
Sewing into the bar, sewing into the weed, man, sewing into to build darkness.
Yeah, misunderstood there. Misunderstood, it's just a story of my life.
Okay.
So now I'm in the season where I let it go.
You should. Yeah, as you know, I always ask myself that question too. I go, did I do my part? You say, who has been forgiven much loves much. Mm-hmm. So that's my issue sometimes. I feel like I love hard. And so even though it shouldn't bother me because I'm loving hard, I feel like sometimes it's never enough for some people. Yeah. It's never enough. I'm like, bro, I give you everything. I can't give you at least what I know. I can't love you anymore. I'm giving you mercy, forgiveness. I always ask myself the question. They go, one. If before the eyes of the Lord, did you give him 100 of you? And like, yeah, all right, then. Because I could only give what I got. Maybe I didn't know something, and there was a gap. Okay, then where's my mercy and grace? Like, you know, just get on pastor. Like,
that's
give
part,
it back.
Bro, that's that part right there. Dark. It's like we don't get mercy on grace. Like, don't get it. Oh, but you know this. But you should know better because you're a pastor.
Totally. Oh, that pastor thing. Forget it. You should know everything.
But I love it, though.
That's just my role. Oh, no, totally. Yeah. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Let them. I mean, the book called Let Them Theory. So just let them. That's the best piece of advice
I've ever
got. Let them.
I think it's like, let them.
Yeah, just let them. Like, bro, let them. Like, that's the best piece of advice I've got as men, as people in ministry. We come from where we come from. Like, you just got to let them. When people come, why is that the best piece of advice? Let me break it down.
Yeah.
Because we were just talking about people talking. It's not just that. So it's really totally. Let them. And ministry, when people come and they say, yo, we're going to be here for you, Pastor. God told us to be here for you and protect you. Let them. Let them protect you. Let them show up. And then there's people that are going to leave. And it might be that same person, too, that said they got a word and revelation from God that this way. Let them leave. Never beg nobody to stay. Never tell somebody to stay longer. Just let them go. If people have something to say, let them say it. I'm just learning the best piece of advice I've gotten is just let them. If artists come in here and they're like, yo, we want to do a longer set, let them. Let them do a longer set. I'm not going to stop it. It's just letting them. And that's just been so much. It's been the best piece of advice I've gotten recently. There's a lot of piece of advice I've gotten.
Oh, of course.
Recently, but that's the recent. Yeah, this is the reason why.
Okay, here's one for you. What's a jam right now? What's a song, right? Because, you know, we like doing heavy hit of the week. Sometimes in the prisons, we do Yo TV. We go Yo Real TV Raps. So instead of Yo MTV, we do Yo Real TV. What is the song right now that hits your soul?
Okay. You know, I got one. I'm gonna give you a worship joint and I'm gonna give you a hip hop joint.
Oh yeah, yo. Okay. And you know, some people might get offended. You didn't say mine, give me two.
No, I'm gonna just give you one because I just got one right now.
Oh, fire!
And I ain't glazing up. This is straight up, bro. It's Rob Hell by Indie Tribe. Rob Hell, put him in a baddie bag.
So John Keith and all them, you like him.
Bro,
Mykel's.
Yeah, this Rob Hell right now, joint. Right? Yeah, like Indie Tribe, Miles Smith, everybody. But you gotta understand, we gotta give flowers to the people that were before them, paving the way. You know what I'm saying? But they reaping that harvest now. They there, but and I'm glad that it's them.
Yeah,
because they doing it and they stepping up. Like it's just so beautiful how God makes it work. But bro, Rob Hell by Indie Tribe. It's crazy. Like, it's insane. Because that's how I feel right now. I'm about to rob hell.
Yeah, no.
Like,
we're
robbing hell regardless. I'm doing a whole series next month called Rob Hell. And it's
I'm about to do one now.
It's based on evangelism. We robbing hell. Yeah. And them boys misunderstood. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's Rob Hell is my favorite song. You really got to listen to that. Okay, I'll give you two. You're right. Two.
I told you. Hey, but you're going to give me the worship, too.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm going to give you the worship. Okay. The worship, bro.
Give me the second rap.
The second rap is West Indies, and it's one of the four songs at the end. The last four songs on West Indies by Miles Mick and John Keith are insane, bro. Like, when I'm like, I got to get off this. That's who I listen to. And I, believe it or not, I just got into Christian hip-hop, even though we do a Christian hip-hop festival, because I only used to listen to corridos growing up, like Mexican corridos, bro. Like, so now I'm trying to find the Christian corridos, which we have at Seattle Fest. But worship song, on repeat for the last 6 months. I don't listen to nothing else. My wife hates it. People that get in my car, they know what we about to listen to.
Okay,
it's this song, bro. S-E-U Worship, What a God.
S-E-U Worship, What a God.
What a God, bro. And the song is just saying, what a God. What a God. I'm on the road and I'm crying. What a God. I'm going into church. What a God. I remember my life, bro. What a God. This happened. What a God. And that's it's just saying this repetitive lyric. It says, what a God. And it says, if the highest place I ever reach is at your feet, then I've seen it all. If the highest place I ever reach is at your feet, then I've seen it all. So when it's hard, when I want to give up, and we're trying to see the face and glory of God, if I just see the feet, I've seen it all. That's and then cool. It also says, I've never been without. Yeah. Like, I've had it all.
Oh, yeah.
The whole I've time. Had it all. So it's like, I've had it all.
He took care of you even when you weren't.
And still taking care of me, bro. Yeah. Still taking care of me. So every day I get up, we have a speaker in my shower, I play What a God. I get in my car to wherever I'm going, repeating, What a God. I'm probably going to leave here right now, What a God, because it's what's playing.
No, now I'm going to listen to
What a God. You have to listen to What a God. If you're watching this, What a God.
Okay. So, you know, I say this term a lot, you know, and I think we talked about it. I got a book coming out in October, but it's just something that I've always said, because usually I'm like living life, let's say throughout the years, and then I go, man, that's crazy, right? And then one day I felt like the Lord was like, no, it's me, fool. Like, right? It's me. Yeah. Like, it ain't crazy, it's me. Yeah. And so then I'm like, that's right. And then I, you know, for years I've been kind of doing this thing and all this kind of stuff has happened. And so the Lord had told me, he said, look, the world's going to look at y'all and they're going to say, that's crazy. And you're only going to be able to say, no, it was God. So I love our stories and just you dreaming big. So what's a that's crazy, no, that's God moment that you can remember? Where you were like, yo, that's crazy, but it was God. What's a moment like that for you?
When Social Club told me to be the road manager.
Yo, that's crazy. It is crazy.
That's God.
Yeah.
I was going to school for Bible college. I was 18 years old, started making the most money I've ever made in my whole life to this day. At 18, people were mad. God, bro, that was a crazy moment and a God moment. Like, only God could get the glory from it. That was the craziest thing. I'm like, what? Wait a second. Ain't that Luke? What is he doing on tour with? I don't know why I'm here.
You got to experience the whole
all tour of it, bro. I held Grammys. I'm hanging out with Lauren Daigle, bro. Hillsong before all that went down. All of it. Bro, Kirk Franklin. I mean, you, Tori Kelly, where all of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, we're on
that
tour. Like, Kerry Job is sending cookies to my tour bus that says, thank you, Luis. It's been so fun being with you boys on this run. Kerry Job, bro. Dude, I grew up listening. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
All of this. So that's, those are crazy moments for me, being on a tour bus and getting paid the most I've ever in my life to do what I love, to be on this road, and then set me up for Seattle Fest. It's just God. It's always been God. That's
all
why it's
that.
The same revelation.
Yeah.
Like, boy, that's crazy. My boy said, Lou, that's crazy, bro. You really Social Club's manager. I'm like, no, it's God.
It's God.
We can't take the glory from it. So that, and obviously Seattle Fest, obviously that every day, I'm like, I mean, every year I'm like, yeah, bro, we should not be here. There's no way. I'll tell you this quick story. Every year I have the checks that people give us to Seattle Fest to fund it, and we never deposit them. We take pictures of them. And I keep the stack of checks, and I pray for them every year. And I play another song. Here's a fourth song, Do It Again by Elevation Worship. If he did it before, he'll do it again. So we've had every check since 2021 that people have sold into Seattle Fest
wow.
to make it happen. We get it every year. Me and my team, my wife, we pray over that thing, and we say, do it again, Lord. And that's crazy to me. What's crazy to me is to see Celsius give us a check, to see Shell, a bank, to see Topo Chico, to see all these secular brands just give to a ministry like this, that's crazy.
No,
that's God.
That's fire, man. That's super fire. Hey, you got people listening everywhere, you know, but a large portion of our audience is incarcerated nationwide. And so I want you to look at that camera. And what would you say to somebody that maybe they're losing hope? You know, they're incarcerated, right? All across the nation, what would you say to them? And then you could close out.
Yeah. I would say to y'all the same thing we were talking about earlier. Luke 18, pray again, man. Keep praying. You're probably like, well, I'm just waiting. I gave up on it. You're probably sitting in there because you didn't get justice. Keep praying, man. Keep praying is the best thing we could do. And don't lose hope. I know you're looking at our stories. You're probably smiling, crying, taking notes, whatever the case is. But know that the same God that we're talking about is the same God that's there with you right now. You can cast everything to him. Like, and most importantly, I feel this in my spirit. Like, there's no shame. Like, let go of that shame. We were talking about all these lies. And with so much time, you believe all these lies and you begin to believe all of this. You probably are like, man, I wish he took me back to my car and asked me those questions. And you ask yourself those questions, what would you tell yourself? But at the end of the day, just let all the shame be gone and ask the Lord to renew your mind daily, to think like him. What would a son think like? What would a daughter think like? So let shame be gone in the name of Jesus out of your life. Like, yo, pray again and don't believe the lies of the enemy. That's what I would say to you.
You want to pray for them?
Let's do it. Father, we just thank you for everybody that's watching this. We thank you for their life. We thank you that they are still alive. We thank you that you kept them this far. God, I pray for your Holy Spirit to show up right now, wherever they're at, God. I pray that you would literally wrap your arms around them, that they will feel your love. If they've been saying, man, I just want a sign, God, show me that you're real. Let this be the thing, God. But the truth is, we don't want another sign. We don't need another sign. You already gave us your son, and his name was Jesus, to die on the cross for us, God, so that we can have everlasting life. So, Father, we pray that we will be able to live in that everlasting life. We pray that you will remove every lie from our mind, every shame from our mind. Father, we pray that we will be able to wake up and be thankful, that we'll be able to wake up and think like a son, think like a daughter. Father, I pray for any spiritual healing that needs to happen, God, to happen, not just physical healing, but emotional healing, God. People that have been dealing with stuff emotionally, there's been stuff, trauma, things that they still have never spoken about. I pray that they will speak to you about it. I pray that today they will let it go, God, that today they will let it go. If they're waiting on a certain visit, God, that they will let them go and that you will visit them, Jesus. Is that you will show up for them. God, I thank you for every soul. I thank you for this ministry. I thank you for the pastor here. I thank you for the team here. I thank you for Get Wrapped. God, I thank you for what you're doing in the city. I thank you that you died on that cross and resurrected on the third day so that we can have full access to you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for being with us, bro. So now you got a new brother, man. You got a new brother in Christ, so that's super dope. Thank you so much for tuning in to Real People, Real Problems, Real Solutions, where everything is real. Thank you to all the real ones out there who support us through prayer, whether you share the video, leave a review, tag us. And you know what I think I'm going to do too? I'm going to ask him for all his top rap songs and stuff. And when we do the next Yo Real TV Raps, we're going to make sure that you see his playlist and what he jams. Do some videos so y'all can kind of jam out when you're in the cell. And now you'll understand all the songs he was mentioning. All right?
And that's a wrap.
Thank you. This is Real Family for joining us. You can be a part of the crew by following us on social media or writing us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267.
And don't forget, stay real.